of you are ready for the Word of God this morning? Come on, you excited to be here? Yeah. The big picture, what are we here for? What's the purpose of all this? Why did God put us on the planet at this time, in this season, in White Oak, Pennsylvania, of all places? What is the big picture? Have you ever wondered what the real big picture is of life? Have you ever wondered, why am I here? Have you ever wondered what the purpose of this all is? These are just some of the questions that we're going to answer over the next couple weeks as we just look at God's big picture for our lives. Today, it's all about, what is God's purpose for my life? How can we help you learn that? Next week's going to be about, who am I? What's the purpose of me and my identity and who God made me to be? And then you don't want to miss 2 weeks from now. Pastor Nick's going to have a great word for you on why do bad things happen to good people? How many of y'all have ever wondered that one? Yeah, a question we all have. And so we're just going to try to help with the Word of God answer a few of these questions over the next couple weeks. Now, I want to help you with three statements that I believe are really, really important that we have. It's that I matter. What I do matters, and what I do matters to God. Now, these are three really, really important statements, and I believe that when we lose these three statements, we get caught in the myopic picture of who we are, and we lose the big picture of God. So these statements are really, really important. So we're going to say these out loud together. Are you ready? Are you ready to help me out?
Yeah.
I Now, that's it. Like many people in the room right now, it's like we know that intellectually, but to realize that in our heart of hearts, a really belief system, is a little difficult to some degree. Because we know it intellectually, but really, really believing that is like, I'm not really sure I matter in the grand scheme of things. But I'm here to tell you today that you matter. And what you do matters. And what you do matters to God. That's what I want to uncover, because that's the big picture of what God put us here on this planet to realize, that He has a purpose and a plan for our lives. Now, how many of you have ever heard of coffee mug theology? Okay, a few of you. Yeah, coffee mug theology. There's a theology that you can find on your coffee mug. Usually there's a saying, if it's too big for a coffee mug, your theology is too big. Okay. Okay, so here's one here. Okay, and we put a lot on this mug. Come on, somebody. Matter of fact, the only way to put more is we could have wrapped it around. Come on, we could have just put it all the way around. Okay, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. Now, how many of you, your day, Monday through Saturday, would be better off remembering this statement? How many of y'all would like this coffee mug? For $39.95. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Well, I just realized we missed an opportunity. We missed an opportunity. Man, I got to get clearer on this first. Come on. But every morning, if we could remember this verse found in the book of Jeremiah, how many of y'all know that would be good? It would help our day get started, realizing that God has a plan for our lives. Now, we're going to read this scripture that's found in Jeremiah 29, but I want to give you some context so you understand the scripture beforehand. Now, this is found in the book of Jeremiah. It's in the Old Testament. The book of Jeremiah is a pretty long one. It's 52 chapters. That's one for every week of the year. So it's a long one, okay? And if you get into this book, Jeremiah was a prophet who spoke forth for God, and he was warning God's people that he was giving them stern warnings that they needed to repent and be restored. And he was telling them very clearly, like, hey, you're going to be in captivity, because God's people were in a place, they were taken out of, like, Israel, basically, taken to a place called Babylon. Babylon, I believe, represents the world in confusion. So God's people were in a divided land. I don't know if you know this right now, but we live in a divided land. I'm not talking about Republicans and Democrats. I'm talking about God-fearing, God-honoring Christians and those who haven't been there yet. Notice how I worded that. Okay, so that's what we're in a divided place. There's two ideologies, there's two cultures trying to live together. Now, the prophet Jeremiah speaks. Now let me just tell you this. I'm in the book of Ezekiel right now in my daily reading through the Bible in a year. And I'm telling you, getting through Ezekiel, it's kind of rough. Because Jeremiah and Ezekiel, it's like they don't have anything good to say. They're the kind of guys that if they showed up at your small group, you'd go, oh, out of all the groups, they came to mind, you know? But in reality, we need the Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And there's truth in this book that we can find and we can apply to our lives today when we learn the whole of God's word, because the big picture of God is still really, really important. And there's things in the Old Testament that seem irrelevant, but yet speak to us in the here and now. Now, Jeremiah just gets done saying that you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. How many of y'all know that's a long time? That's like a lifetime, am I right? As a matter of fact, if you were to tell me right now, I'm going to be in captivity 70 years, I would say, no, I'm not. Because I'm not going to be here in 70 years. Come on, somebody. So what he was telling some people is this captivity, you're not going to get out. But you're going to have to live for a purpose that's greater than you. See, in the chapter before this, there was a prophet, Hananiah, who was running around telling everybody, hey, you're only going to be in captivity 2 years. Now, if I were to say, we're going to have a prayer line for everybody who wants 2 years of captivity, come down this way. 70 years, you come down this way. How many of y'all would go to the two-year line? Right? But Hananiah was wrong. And what I'm trying to tell you is that all you want is somebody just to speak what you want to hear, you'll find it. If all you want is a quick fix, you can find it. But I don't have a quick fix for you today. All of us want that mysterious, like that pill we can take after we eat a double cheese and bacon fries. If I could just find the right pill to take away all the calories after I eat it and enjoy it, how many of y'all would take that? Yeah, right? We all want that. We want to stay up late binging on Netflix and eating popcorn and chips, but yet we still want to get up at 4:30 and read the Bible through in a year. Am I right? See, we want the quick fix, and if you want a quick fix, I don't have it for you, but I have the purpose of God that I can give you. So in the midst of the 70 years, God speaks something to his people. So you got to catch this. In the midst of that, so in Jeremiah 29, now we're going to look at these verses together. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. How many of y'all would like some future and hope right about now? Come on. You want to know you got a future and hope. Isn't that? That's what he's offering here. In the midst of captivity, you need to know just because it's where you are does not define who you are. Okay? So in those days when you pray, I will listen. How many of y'all would like God to listen? He says, in the midst of where you are, I'm going to listen here. If you look for me half-heartedly, you will find me. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will. Yeah. So the prophet's saying here, okay, there's plans for you that are bigger than you, bigger than your captivity, bigger than your situation. There's a bigger picture that God's trying to show us. So my prayer for you today, my prayer all morning for you this week leading up for this, is that our ears would be open to hear the word of God. Our eyes would be open to see God in a whole new way. How many of y'all could use a little bit of that today? That's what I need. I need just to see the purposes of God. So God's purpose for our lives. God's purpose for our lives, we need to realize we are created for God. So we are created for, we are created for, and created for the, This is the purpose of God. This is it. And I'm going to take these verses in Jeremiah 29 and try to take an application, okay, not the exact interpretation for the people in the moment, but there's some application that we can learn from our lives today from the Word of God, that we were created for God. We were created for God. Listen, you may have been a surprise to your parents, but you were not a surprise to God. Okay? Like when you're created by God and for God, like there's no such thing as you were an accident. No, there's the purpose of God on our lives. See, I was created by God. This is important. Listen, there's a plan of God. There's a purpose of God. I want to go to Jeremiah chapter 1, and I want to read some verses about the prophet Jeremiah. The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, I think there's a pretty good chance in this room today. I don't know it for a fact, but there's a pretty good chance that there's nobody in this room that necessarily is a prophet to the nations. Maybe there is. Maybe I haven't met you yet. If you're a prophet to the nations, come and see me after church, okay? We'll talk to them, okay? Good. But what we fail to say is I have been appointed by God. I was created by God. He knew me. He formed me. I was set apart before I was born for an appointment by God. So I may not be appointed to the nations. And to be honest, I'm not appointed as a prophet to the nation. But you know where I am appointed to? The street that I live on. I've been appointed to everybody that I play tennis with to share with them the love of God. That's an appointment of God. Where you go to school is an appointment by God. Where you shop is an appointment by God. When's the last time you walked around Giant Eagle saying, I'm on a mission from God? But no, see, we don't see our everyday, ordinary lives as being an appointment from God. We just see the holy stuff. And no. God has appointed me. My life belongs to Him. My work belongs to Him. Relationships belong to Him. I have been created by God on purpose, and God don't make no junk. I said that in such a way, some of you, that English was just like, it was like too much, but I just, he doesn't. He doesn't make junk. And He didn't make you junk. He didn't make you. Like, He's like, oh, maybe God made you the height you are just the way He wanted you. Amen. I might not be a prophet to the nations, but I'm a prophet here. Yeah, no, what if God puts you right where He wanted you, on the street you live, in the place you live, in the town you live, working at the place you live, for His purpose and for His goal? See, a big difference. But why He created me? He created me on purpose for the big picture of God. He created me to be an object of His love. That's what we remembered in communion, that He loves me. And He loves us so much that He gave His only Son. He didn't need somebody to love. But He created you and me for an object of His love. You got to catch this. He didn't stop with dogs and say, dogs are good. Thank God. Right? No. He created people so that we would be the object of His love. And He chose to love us. You get this? God doesn't have to love you. He chose to create you to be to have somebody to love and somebody to have relationship with. He wants that. This is a game changer to understand the purpose of God. So the purpose of God isn't just to go do stuff. The purpose of God is to be something. Be His child. I've responded to Him. And some of you, 70 years, 70 years feels like captivity. Why would God do that? How many of you are Steelers fans? How many of you are hoping for a playoff victory this year? And everybody's talking about how long it's been. How long it's been. And then how many of you are Pirate fans? How long it's been. How long it's been. But how many of you are filled with a future and a hope today? That today, this year is the year. We have future and hope for things. We just don't identify it as such. Why can't we have future and hope for us, even though we may not be in the best of circumstance? I still believe God for the best of things. I still have a future and a hope, even though I'm not experiencing that future and hope right now. I know God's up to something. He still created me for His love. He created me to be an object of His mercy here. But God is a father. Where are all my fathers out there? Yeah. As a true father, God is more interested in character than comfort. God, as a father, is more interested in your holiness than your happiness. I just gave every dad in the room talking points for dinner today. Come on. Hey, we're going to discuss today's message. Yeah. No, but you see, He's a father who loves us enough to want to do what's best for us, even though we can't see it. 1 John 4:19, we love each other because He first loved us. Why do we love? Because He first loved us. What makes us have the ability to love others? He first loved us. See, as I am an object of His love, now I am free to demonstrate His love. Up until this, we had feelings of love, but we did not know love. God is love. So if we want to love others, we have to have the God that is love living inside of us, so therefore we can live love. Like when we say yes to Jesus Christ, and we say, yeah, I want to live for Jesus. I want to be a believer in Jesus. I want Jesus to be the forgiver of my past and the leader to my future. We say yes to Him, and now lead me. We spend the rest of our lives figuring out what we just did. Because we don't know everything He just did. We're still trying to figure it out. Just like marriage. We say, I do, at the altar, knowing that this person is going to meet my every need. Whenever I have a need, my needs are met. After all, that's why we got married. But then we realize we spend the rest of our lives learning what we just did. Am I right? See, this is, but we were created to love and to demonstrate love, and we must have Him to love us so that we can love others. Here we go. I have been created. I've been created what? I've been created. Say this with me. Yeah. See, I was created by God and for God. I was created to be loved by God, but I was also created to demonstrate His love. If you're wondering what your purpose in life is, this is where it begins. And to try to find our purpose in our job, in our money, in our stuff, in the car we drive, in the house we own, it's going to leave you empty. Why? Because we were created by God and for God to be loved by God. God can't love your house. You may think you love your house, but it can't love you back. It's a house. God created us for a love relationship by which we can give back to Him in this worshiping, creating. See, when just moments ago, wasn't that a great worship time we had singing together today? I mean, they were spot on. I mean, there was a few times I didn't want to sing because I would mess it up. But we experience something together. That is a part of worship, but it's not worship. It's something that we do that honors God. Am I right? We remember. Our minds all together get pointed towards God, which is healthy, and we need that together. What you experience today, you can't get on your own. No matter how loud you put K-Love up in your car, you can't get that. Okay, you can't. It's something that honored him. But worship is so much more. In a few moments from now, we're going to have the opportunity to give financially to the church and give financially. That's worship because it's honoring God in faith. It's saying, I'm grounded in God, so I'm going to give financially as a declaration of my worship that God is worthy, and I want to give to him. That's worship. How about the way I speak in learning to use good language that honors God? How about not cutting people off when they want to pull in front of you? Just a thought. No, see, I worship God. How about how many of y'all have kids? And how many of y'all know that they don't always appreciate you? Wow. We have a parenting group coming up. It's just like. How about you still love them, right? You still love them and appreciate them, but sometimes they don't appreciate. But you still honor God by the way you love and take care of them. Learning to put what I want aside to love my wife Natalie is worship to God. Because whenever I put myself aside and I live for what I'm created for and by, God is honored, and that is a way that I worship him. Are you tracking me now? See, worship is so much more than singing songs. Worship is every day, all day. So let's take a look at my purpose to worship and honor God. My purpose to worship God. In happy moments, praise God. In difficult moments, seek God wholeheartedly. Quiet moments, just worship him. Be still. In painful moments, trust him. In every moment, thank him. Are you with me? Come on, that's worship. I've been created by God. My circumstances may not be great, but I'm not going to worship God because of my circumstances. I'm going to honor and praise God through my circumstances. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to trust that he's still a good God. And when we sang a couple songs this morning about trusting and being, he's faithful. Yeah, I was torn inside a little bit because there's some areas of my life I wish he'd be a little more faithful. Am I right? I wish I could see it now. And you know what? I may not see it in my lifetime, but I'm living for something that lives beyond me. I'm not just going to live for what's good for me. I want to live for something greater. And if other people can see the demonstration of God's love, yeah, count me in. Am I right? So yeah, I'm going to give sacrificially. And yeah, I'm going to give joyfully. And yeah, I'm going to take risk on faith. Because I've been created by God and for God. I've been created to be loved by God. And I've been created to be a demonstration of his love. Come on. That's the point here. You matter. What you do matters, and what you do matters to God. That's the purpose of God. I have an aunt, 90 years old, been going through just in a rough spot right now physically. Was in a hospital, then a nursing home, and just not as strong, and losing maybe a little bit of independence and having a rough time. I was with her this week, and I was helping her do some things, and she said something to me that was really, really interesting. She said, I just keep asking, why did this all happen to me? What am I supposed to learn? I wouldn't be asking that question. But it was the right question. I'm just asking God, what am I learning? What can I learn in the situation that I'm in that can help me define the purpose of God for my life? That's the right statement. That's the right question. How can I learn more about God's character as I praise him and seek him and worship him and trust him and thank him? because the purpose of God is being unfolded in my life. Next, we're created for community. The purpose of God is always found in community. In Jeremiah 29, the verses that I read to you were spoken not to a person, but to a people. See, when God wants to do something good, he chooses a person. When he wants to do something great, he chooses a people. And so the question is, are we going to be a part of God's people? See, he chose us for community. He didn't need a family, but he created us to be a family. And how do you know you're in a family is the people around you irritate you, but you love them anyhow. That's how you know family. Yeah, that's Uncle So-and-so. But you never tell Uncle So-and-so to stay home because it wouldn't be family without Uncle So-and-so. I know many guys in them are wondering if you're Uncle So-and-so right now. You're just not sure. No, but see, that's how you know family. We're working it out together, but we find purpose and meaning as in a whole, not just as me, as an individual. In our Western culture, in the United States of America, we are so driven by what's best for me. But when we're a part of God's people, it's we over me. See, that happens in every home, in every relationship, and then it happens in a church. We over me. I've been created for community. I've been created for something more than just me. That's the point of this. And so if we're trying to find purpose all on our own, apart from community, it's no wonder we're missing out. Because we come to church, and people come to me all the time and say, Pastor, I've been coming to church, but I'm still alone. I'm still isolated. I'm still lonely. I'm still, filled with emptiness. And I understand that because you can come to a church like this, and you can come here, and there's really nice, great people here. Yeah. Amen? Amen? But we can still feel alone, and that's why this week we have groups kicking off. And we have small groups kicking off because we want you in a group because we want you to experience the purpose of God for your life that's found much better amongst a people than you as an individual. But if all we do is go to group just because what's in it for me? Well, you get to be irritated with people close by. But you get to the end of you so you can learn how to love. The way that God loves you and the way God loves me. Are you with me? Yeah. Now, I know what you're thinking. If I go to group, will they say hello to me? Well, I tell you what. If you go to group and nobody says hello to you for 3 weeks in a row, come and see me. Okay? Because people say all the time, well, I can come and go in church, but we're not meant to come and go. We're meant to experience the purpose of God, which I've been created for God. I've been created for community. We were born for this moment. We can accomplish more together than we could ever do on our own. That's why Pastor Nick is where he is right now, preaching and teaching and helping and serving in such a way. Because we're one. Hebrews 10:24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is near. How many of you have been too encouraged this week? How many of you have just like, you're telling people in your life, dow it down. Dow it down. You're giving me too much encouragement. I'm motivated too much to acts of love. Right? No. See, we get together to encourage one another to act according to God's love in our lives. We've been created for community. I find purpose in community. Are you there? Okay, last but not least, let's keep moving here. Created for the big picture, Romans 8:28. As I did a study this week, I was looking at so many sites, and they said that there were two of the most misquoted scriptures. Jeremiah 29:11, which I read to you, and this one right here, Romans 8:28. Let's read it together out loud. Here we go. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So we're called together to demonstrate his purpose for our lives. I'm a part of the big picture. I'm not the picture. I'm a part of this. And so when God's love has changed my life. I've responded to him. And now I love him back because he first loved me. And now I'm learning to live for him on a daily basis. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's not up front. You got to write this down. Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you want to know what the purpose of God for your life is, it's written right in those two verses. I'm going to save that for another day. I'm not going to be able to get to it today. But we know that God's causing everything. For those who love him, do you love him? Are you called according to his purpose on your life? Created by God, created for community. Big picture. And how do we experience this? Your word is a lamp to guide my and a light for my. Sometimes God just gives us the next step. We want the big picture and God gives us the next step. I always want the big, what's it going to look like? Where are we going to be? What are we going to do? How are we going to see, we're just so spoiled by the internet. We're so spoiled by the stuff. We get everything instantly and right now. We get the picture of everything. And, you know, now we got AI who's become the modern day church. I'm telling you, it's crazy what's happening right now. Am I right? It's taken away so much. But this is how the purpose of God looks at us. It looks like a bunch of dots on a screen. This is what we see. And up way up top is the number 1 and 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How many of y'all remember Connected Dots? How many on the way home, you're going to stop and buy a Connected Dots? You're going to go to Dollar General. And see, we see this. How many of y'all know what this picture is right now? Now, if you were here the first, don't do it. I know. I'm trying to help you. You're cheating, okay? Double dipping. How many of y'all know what this is? You don't. See, but God does. This is a picture of our life. We have all these dots we see and all these things God wants me to do, but I don't understand what they're all doing. But God says, I want to give you one step. And we take one step, then we connect the next dot, and we connect the next dot, we connect the next dot, and we connect the next dot. And guess what it begins to look like? It looks like this. Aww. The first service wasn't impressed with the picture. They're like, oh, it's a koala bear. You're much more sensitive. See, we don't see the picture, but God does. We see this, God sees this. How do we get this? We take our next step with God. We get into a group. We get into what God wants us to do. We take our next step of faith with maybe giving or reading the Bible through a year, or we step into something new. Are you with me? See, we dare to take a step. We dare to take the next step. We dare to go to BC 101 and say, you know what? I want to learn what it is to use my gifts for God's glory. I want to be a part of the mission of God. Did you hear anything helpful to you today? Stand to your feet with me. Come on. Stand to your feet with me right now. The big picture. Lord God, I pray for the people right now, Lord God, every person in this room right now, that we would understand how we were created by you and for you, that we would understand community in a new way. And God, we would understand what it really means to take our next step in faith with the big picture of God. Help us and grant us grace in that, Lord, to see that and know that, Lord. Help each and every person in this room right now. If you're here today and you don't have a day, a moment, or time when you trusted in what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you to begin a relationship with God the Father, no, you can't be good enough. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. But because of what Jesus did on the cross for you, you can have a relationship with God the Father. It's what you've been longing for, is to be loved by the Creator of the universe. You can get that today by just simply saying, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I've missed the mark. And Jesus, lead my life into the future. I'm sorry for what I have done, but thankful for what you're going to do. If you don't have a day, a moment, or time when you began a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, and you transferred your trust off of you onto Jesus on the cross, you came to the right place, because that's why God put Bridge City Church on this planet, to help you with this. So right now, I'm going to ask you to do something really joyful, but really, really awesome and over the top cool. I want to ask you, if that's you today, even in the midst of all these beautiful, awesome people, I just want you to slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me today. I want to begin a relationship with God the Father today. Is there anybody in the house today that says, you know what, that's me today. I want to thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, come on. Yeah, that's me he's talking about. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Listen, this is what we want you to do. If you raise your hand, we want to treat you as a person. We want to value you. So we value you, not just a number, but we value your name. We value people at Bridge City Church. So if you raise your hand, what I want you to do right now is make your way out of your seats and just walk to the back. Just go ahead. Get out of the way if somebody's coming down your way. Come on, just go ahead. 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 And if there's anybody else that wants in on this deal, this is a good time to go. No, I mean it. Why? Because we honor people. We value people. We're not causing shame on anybody. We're honoring Jesus Christ and what he has done. Come on, is there anybody else here? Just make your way back. Just make your way to the back, and they're going to take care of you. You all are so awesome. Listen, I love you. Thanks for being so great. You can be seated. My brother, Larry Paladin Jr., is going to come up and share some awesome ways we can take our...